this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am the second string, Doug McBurney, sitting in as Bob tours Italy. When in Rome, Bob tends to do Romans and maybe visit the Vatican. I haven't heard if the Pope has managed to requisition an audience with Pastor Enyart. But a good time is being had by all. That's all we know about the trip to Italy right now, is that we all wish we would have gone. That's the one thing we know. So what should we address first? Should we address this Cory Gardner's wife and Rand Paul being assaulted and all? I think that needs to be addressed, by the way. We certainly don't want to talk about the New York Jets. That's not even a topic for discussion. So let's move on to Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner's wife received a threatening text over the weekend. And then Rand Paul was also assaulted, attacked, bullied at an airport, and his wife was terrified. And so, and there's an article, what's the article? Sleepwalking into our next civil war. Let me pull up Drudge, because that's what talk show hosts do. That's what we do. Sleepwalking. Nation could be sleepwalking into the second civil war. Well, I think it's possible. Anyway, I'm going to leave Rand Paul aside because I addressed him on my show, The Weekly Worldview. If you want to get that, you can just go to theweeklyworldview.com or go to any one of the many myriad podcast websites and search Doug McBurney. Go to iTunes, search Doug McBurney, and you can subscribe to the podcast. And you can hear me, not this week, but last week, I addressed the whole issue with Rand Paul. So we'll just move on to Cory Gardner, who I despise. I despise Cory Gardner. I worked hard to launch Cory Gardner's career back when he was an alleged supporter of the personhood of the unborn. And made some type of veiled promise to outlaw the killing of innocent children early in his career in order to garner the support of hardworking conservatives here in Colorado like myself. And then when he had an opportunity to get into the Senate, he threw us under the bus so fast that we had skid marks. And so Cory Gardner's wife received a text. I'm not sure what the content, something about beheading either Cory or her or their whole family or something like that. Just a horrifying, terrible thing. Terrible thing for someone's wife to receive. Especially when Cory Gardner's wife received the email because of Cory Gardner's current gig in the U.S. Senate. And I despise Cory Gardner. But no one's wife deserves to be treated that way. And Cory, what I want to say to you, Cory, is that shame on you that you were willing to sacrifice your principles in order to join a club that you knew well and good has presided over the greatest mass murder in all of history. That's the United States Senate. Seconded by the Congress, third by the executive branch, fourth by the judiciary. All of them have blood on their hands, blood up to their waists, and you begged for that job, Cory. You begged for it. You even paraded your wife and kids up there on the stage so you could get that job and join that club full of liars and thieves and prostitutes and murderers. And now they've turned on you, Cory. I know you say, well, it's just the Democrats. It's just the Democrats who sent his wife an ugly email. It's the Democrats and the Republicans who have presided over and acquiesced and allowed and even legislated the greatest mass murder in all of human history ever to occur, ever. And Cory Gardner's wife is now being threatened. And people in the Senate and the Congress are beginning to fear for their lives, believe it or not. Oddly enough, After presiding over the killing of tens of millions of innocent people, they're starting to get scared. And they're starting to turn on each other. And they'll devour each other. Because they have devolved to the level of animals, or even worse. And so that's what you get, Corey, when you throw your principles aside and you parade your family in front of a house of ill repute in order to join it. So while your wife doesn't deserve what she's getting, you're the one who got her into it, Corey. And nobody deserves to be threatened with beheading, but Corey, you deserve to be miserable. Miserable! All right, let's move on. I have an update on the Keith Ellison situation. Last week, we reported that the Democrat Farm Labor Party in Minnesota had referred the Keith Ellison girlfriend beating case to the local police. So the local police now say, for a variety of reasons, they're unable to investigate. The Minneapolis Police Department will not be handling the matter involving Congressman Ellison, is how they put it. There's a matter involving Congressman Ellison. They say it's due to a conflict of interest and that they don't want their houses burned down and they don't want anyone to get their heads cut off. Did I mention that Keith Ellison is a Muslim? No, it's not that. They're not afraid of him cutting their heads off or unleashing the mighty warriors of Allah upon them. What they're afraid of is the Democrat Party. When I talked about cutting off of heads and burning of houses, I was referring to the potential violence bubbling up to the top now in the Democrat Party. That's what I was referring to. You may have thought I was talking about terrorists, but no. So let's see. They have a conflict of interest. Now, Susan Ellingstad, she's the attorney who wrote the report for the Democrat Farm Labor Party there in Minnesota. All she concluded in her report was that the claim of the woman that Ellison allegedly beat on could not be substantiated. Why? Because the woman who claims to have been beaten by Keith Ellison will not produce the video that she says she has of him physically assaulting her. Talk about a double standard with the Democrats. I mean, let's just put it right out there. You've got some crackpot out in Boulder who claims something happened 30 years ago when she was so drunk she couldn't even see, and the Democrats march her right to the front of the parade before they get really embarrassed and it turns out she's lying. But they all believed her at the drop of a hat. This woman who Keith Ellison was beaten on, allegedly, they're going to make her publicly release this video in order to believe her. And she's got the video, folks. Her son says he's seen it. She says she has it on her phone, but it's too embarrassing. She doesn't want to release the video because it's embarrassing. Well, they're going to make her release the video of Keith Ellison assaulting her before they will even consider believing her. Why? It's because Cory, no, not Cory Booker. I'm sorry. There's a Freudian slip. What's this guy's? Keith Ellison. It's Monday. Give me a break. Because Keith Ellison is a pro-abort, pro-homosexual socialist. And in being such, he is inoculated from any suspicion of beating on women. He's basically, you're allowed to abuse some women as long as you kill children. It's a weird, weird paradigm in the Democrat Party. If you kill children, you're allowed to beat women. It's really strange. But that's where we are. Anyway, the police in Minneapolis, no. The police in Minneapolis say they're going to try to find another law enforcement agency that could investigate Keith Ellison. Maybe one of the Sharia courts there in Minneapolis could investigate. All right, let's move on. Okay, let's go to the science file. This is interesting. There's a story from The Independent in London. A robot has been successfully dropped onto an asteroid. So just stop and just let that sink in. A robot has been successfully dropped onto an asteroid. That's just cool. I mean, just to read that has occurred is really, really cool. And The Independent says that this robot has been dropped onto an asteroid and will now hunt for the origin of the solar system. Pretty cool. So what does that mean? Are they thinking there's a copy of the Bible on that asteroid? And the robot might scan some of the pages. Well, Sort of. I mean, it's sort of true. So if they really do want to home in on the origins of the universe, a great place to start is by dropping a robot onto an asteroid, because if you are open to the truth, the truth will be revealed. The name of the robot is Mascot, and it landed on an asteroid called Ryugu. It dropped by a Japanese spacecraft. Mascot has already successfully collected about 20 images of Ryugu. 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 Try saying that three times fast. Let's see. The lander's deployment follows the successful landing last month of two Minerva jumping observation rovers that have transmitted a series of images showing the asteroid's rocky surface. The mothership, Hayabusa 2, will later attempt to briefly land on the asteroid itself to collect samples and send them back to researchers on Earth. So Hayabusa 2 is actually going to scrape some part of this asteroid off and fly it back here, which is pretty amazing. Mascot will capture images, examine minerals on the asteroid's surface, and measure levels of magnetic force and temperature on the asteroid. This is all in future advancement of Walt Brown's 12th or 13th edition. That's where most of the research will end up. By the way, Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, it says that Ryugu came from the Earth. Mascot will further confirm or falsify that. And whether it confirms or falsifies Walt's theory, the information will appear in Walt's next edition, because he's not afraid. Anyway, very interesting stuff. Very interesting. Now let's go to the Nobel Prize update. We talked last week. Who won the Nobel Prize last week? I can't remember which. Oh, it was for medicine, right? For targeted antibodies and immunotherapy. Very interesting. So this year, the prize in physics goes to Donna Strickland, a Canadian. Let's see here. They say Donna Strickland is the first woman in 55 years to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics. And she's the third woman in history to win it. So is that really news then? If three other women have won it, and one won it as recently as 50-some years ago, that's the headline. The headline is the Nobel Prize shared by a woman for the first time in 55 years. This reminds me of the news media when they report on like the 11th holiest site in Islam, and it's like, really? Or October in Colorado is the 7th snowiest month of the year. Is that really news? I mean, she's the fourth woman in. Okay, I guess it's a big deal. What? That's just great. What about women named Donna who've won the Nobel Prize? Or maybe we could break it down by Canadians. And this is a Canadian and a Frenchman. How many times has that happened in the last, let's say, 55 years? Make that part of the headline. Anyway, Donna was jointly awarded with Gerard Moreau from France for their work in generating high-intensity short optical pulses. They share their prize with an American. Oh, now how often has an American, a Frenchman, and a Canadian woman won the prize in the last 55 years? Arthur Ashkin is the American. They all have inventions that have, quote, revolutionized laser physics, unquote, which is really cool. The announcement comes a day after a senior scientist at the CERN in Geneva was suspended for saying that civics was invented and built by men. See, you just can't even do a news article anymore without the whole Me Too feminist. I don't know. It's just kind of a vicious angle that it's just seeped its way into everything anymore. You can't just do a. They can't just report on the science and the lasers, which are amazing. I don't have time to even go into it now because I had to cover the whole feminist angle. So I can't tell you about the laser tweezers. But I will post a link because you might want to know about the science. And you can leave the whole feminist angle aside. Here, let's go to This is the one I really wanted to get to. The Nobel Prize in Chemistry was awarded last week. Awarded to Francis Arnold and George P. Smith and Sir Gregory P. Winter for their work, get this, for their work harnessing the power of evolution to develop new proteins used in drugs and medical treatments. So they've harnessed the power of evolution, and that's the whole point of this story. So the last story, they had to harp on the feminist angle, and they had to keep reminding us that Donna was a girl who won the prize there in physics. Here, they just want to, they want to really push the evolution angle and how these scientists have, well, I'll just read it for you. This is from CNN, as you can well imagine. The Academy said that this year's prize awards a revolution based on evolution. It's a revolution based on evolution. That could be a rap album. They awarded it to scientists who they say applied the principles of Darwin in the test tube. Yes. So three paragraphs all mention either evolution or George Darwin, the first three paragraphs of the article. And the average American reads at a sixth grade level and makes it through approximately three paragraphs before they lose interest. And so there they've gotten their point across. Anyway, Arnold, that's Francis Arnold, was recognized for performing the first ever directed evolution. Now, right there, directed evolution, by definition, that's not Darwinism. Already they've, but that was past where the average American makes it, see? The average American never makes it to that part. And the average American educated in the government schools doesn't understand that directed evolution contradicts Darwinian evolution. Darwinian evolution, by definition, is not directed by intelligence. And if you suggest that it is, you'll be drummed out of the scientific community. But these guys get a Nobel Prize for supposedly harnessing the power of evolution. Yes. What he did was, scientist Francis Arnold, I'm sorry, Francis is a female. I apologize. I've offended all the feminists. Francis is one of those names, you know, it can go either way, right? Anyway, what researcher Francis Arnold did was directed an enzyme's evolution by introducing genetic mutations to create multiple variants. She would then choose the variants that could be useful, thereby defying and refuting Darwin's undirected. You see, if you have an intelligent being selecting and choosing, that's not evolution. The American scientist. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Frances, the American scientist, becomes only the fifth woman to ever have won the prize, and she lives in the sixth snowiest city in Minnesota during August, which is the fourth sunniest month of the year. And then they list the other four women. Oh, started with Marie Curie. Marie Curie. So there you have that. Now, the other scientist won one for a technique known as phage display, in which he evolved new proteins. Yes, this scientist named George P. Smith, genetically engineered the bacteriophage, inserting unknown genes to see what proteins would be made. And then he picked the ones that he liked, which is not evolution, because it involves an intelligent being doing the picking and choosing, you see. So you can call it evolution if you want to, and if you're looking to bamboozle seventh graders, you could say that. But intelligent people can read this article and see that this is not evolution. This is intelligence. In fact, these people are really smart. They're not just intelligent. They're really, really intelligent. They're so intelligent, they won the Nobel Prize, for crying out loud. That's not evolution. Finally, Gregory Winter of the University of Cambridge in the UK harnessed that same method and used it to direct the evolution of new antibodies with the aims of making new drugs. He built up a collection of phages, and then he engineered them to make them more effective. He engineered them, which is what the living God did when he actually created all of this. He engineered them. Darwin, he wasn't even involved. All right, so there you have. No, wait, we don't have, we're not done yet. We've got a quote from the Royal Society of Chemistry, Professor Dame Carol Robinson. Today's Nobel Prize in Chemistry highlights the tremendous role of chemistry in contributing to our lives. Well, now there, I agree with that. We have another quote from Alan Boyd, president of the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Medicine at the Royal College of Physicians. He said, the use of antibodies has resulted in a paradigm shift in the way we treat diseases. So neither one of these scientists mentioned evolution at all. They said they were just really impressed with the work of these scientists. They say it's impossible to overstate the implications of this work in our daily lives. And they didn't give any credit to Charles Darwin at all. So, folks, introducing genetic mutations or other information or material, and then using your intelligence to select the beneficial variants created, could only be said to be harnessing the power of evolution by someone straining credulity to prop up a presupposition that evolution selects anything. Evolution selected this, yeah. And it's a presupposition, by the way, these days that's in need of, it's a fairly threadbare presupposition that's in need of some serious public relations efforts, which is what this headline was. That was some PR on the part of Charles Darwin's threadbare theory of. Now, let's see what else. We have the Nobel Prize in, let's see here, the Nobel Peace Prize. Was shared again by a gynecologist and a women's rights advocate. Let's see here. Breitbart reports that the gynecologist and surgeon Dennis Mukwege won the Nobel Prize for Medicine for his work treating tens of thousands of women and girls raped in the Democratic Republic of the Congo during their years and years of awful. Horrible civil war. He lives, according to Breitbart, he lives under the permanent protection of unpeacekeepers at his hospital in the Democrat Republic of the Congo. And what he basically does is he takes in women who've been abused to a degree that it defies our ability to even comprehend the horrors that these women have gone through. During the wars between these evil subhuman animals, and what they do to women is it's horrifying. And he takes them into his hospital, and he repairs the physical damage done to them surgically as an OBGYN surgeon. And the Breitbart story doesn't mention it here, but he's also a Christian, and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to these women to repair the spiritual damage that has been done to them by the subhuman animals involved in the flesh trade during the Civil War there in the Democrat Republic of the Congo. So congratulations to Dennis Mukwege, bringing some credibility back to the Nobel Peace Prize, as it has been tarnished fairly severely in recent years. A Christian man who helps women both physically and spiritually. He shares the prize with Nadia Murad, a Yazidi woman from Sinjar who was held for 3 months as a slave by the Islamic State. She was bought and sold multiple times among traffickers subjected to sustained abuse. She escaped in 2014 and has since become an activist to draw attention to the tragedy of the Yazidi people at the hands of the Islamic State. So good for them. So they actually did something to win their Nobel Peace Prize. Again, bringing some credibility back to that prize. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, another volcano update. This is from the Young Earth File. A volcano has erupted on the same Indonesian island struck 2 weeks ago by an earthquake and then a tsunami. Tell you, if you're living on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi, you might start thinking about maybe just selling out and going somewhere else. So the earth is young and it's relatively unstable, and the residents of Sulawesi Island are acutely aware of that, as Mount Soputan is now spewing ash more than 6,000 meters into the sky. And volcanologists say that it is possible that the eruption was accelerated by the recent 7.5 magnitude earthquake that struck two Fridays ago. Shocking. Just awful. Hopefully scientists are taking a look at the data and trying to make the connections there. All right, so what do we have? Oh, I'm almost out of time. I got to hurry with these now. So you know what the liberals say? They say that we should legalize criminal activity because it'll clean it up. And out in Nevada, well, they do say that. They said that legalizing dope would reduce the teenagers smoking dope because it would no longer have the allure of being illegal. Well, now we know that that's not true here in Colorado. Now listen to this. They legalized prostitution in Nevada, and now there's been an investigation of the whorehouses out there. And they found massive amounts of immigration violations and, shockingly enough, indications of possible human trafficking. Yes. At the legal brothels out in, All right. So, you know, they sell this as, hey, make it legal. We'll clean it up. We'll protect the sex workers, as if a sex worker is even a legitimate term. Folks, you cannot clean up criminal activity. Can't do it. When you legalize criminal activity like dope dealing or prostitution, you just make the government and the people that much more criminal. That's all. Colorado, the government just became criminal when they legalized dealing dope. And in Nevada, the government there, they're that much more evil and wicked and criminal because they've legalized criminal activity. Criminal activity cannot be tolerated. It should not be regulated. It should be eliminated. So there. Now, meanwhile, we go to the justice file for a story from San Quentin where the first slaying of a death row inmate in California has occurred. They say it's the first slaying in more than 20 years. And so when you first read the story, when I first read it, I thought there was an actual execution and that it was the first one in 20 years. But that would be incorrect. No, this was an actual murder. Jonathan Fajardo was stabbed in the neck and chest and killed by Luis Rodriguez there at San Quentin on death row. They say such slaying, let's see, ABC says such slayings are common in California prisons, but they're rare on death row. The last person murdered on death row was 1997. Let's see. Fajardo was awaiting execution on two counts of murder. And he also received seven life sentences, just to be creative. No, it's actually because everyone in California knows, all the prosecutors know that he'll likely never be executed. And so they added seven life sentences just in case. He was a Latino gang member. He killed a 14-year-old girl and stabbed another man. Now, the guy who killed him, Rodriguez, he was awaiting execution on two counts of murder, a member of a Latino gang, killed two men in a rival gang, suspected of another murder. He was already sentenced to life when he killed the two guys that got... So no one has been executed in California, by the way, since 2006, even though voters passed an initiative to speed up the death penalty. So anyway, perhaps Fajardo is just trying to see that the will of the voters of California be done. See? The system works.